If they're doing it, then they don't know they're doing it, which would be par for the course. I'm going to get to the calls here in a second. You said you were looking online and people are just mad at everything we say today?
Yeah, it seems like there's like this four-way competition turned into a bizarre four-way competition among the fans that I guess every time there's a quarterback competition, it kind of fractures the fans a little bit. But because there were four teams this year, you have everybody pretty much telling you it's not going to be a big season for you. They're monitoring what Nick Chubb is doing in Houston. They're monitoring what Travis Hunter is doing in Jacksonville. And for whatever reason, like we, no matter what videos, you know, our boss puts out or our video guy, Joey's doing a terrific job.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know. I looked at the videos that were put out today. I looked at the conversations we were having. I looked at the headlines. I don't know why you're taking out frustrations with Shador or Dylan Gabriel or how they're being handled or the fact that we told you the start of the show, literally 6:01. Well, quarterback competition's probably over. It's going to be Joe Flacco. Why are you taking that out on us? What kind of news are we conveying that is the problem here?
Well, what are they
where
saying?
Where are we off base?
What's being said about me right now? I'm not on social media right
everything,
now.
Everything revolving Shador. Like, I don't understand. And the only argument we got in about Shador is how big of a story it is. I said this has been nowhere near the Manziel circus from day one. Like when Manziel was here, it was national media. They were renting houses in Northeast Ohio to cover him every day.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been the case at all for Shador. We can be honest about that, right? Like you did say, to your credit, like that's coming this week because of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But yeah. I think that's going to be more of a check-in. Let's check in and see. Is he still fourth string? Well, because of the Pickett injury, he's not going to be fourth. Is he going to be third? Is he actually being given a chance to start? If he's not really being given a chance to start, if he's not even going up against the ones or playing with the ones, then the Shador thing's not even a conversation anymore, right?
I'm not being disrespectful to Shador Sanders. At least I'm not trying to be.
No, not.
Who's being disrespectful to him?
Me and you have both said, like, if he starts to shine and be truly special, I do think there hasn't been much of a chance for that at all.
So what the hell is everybody's problem?
Look at how few passes these guys are all throwing.
What's everybody's problem then?
They're going to have to call in and let me know because I don't understand what we're missing here.
What are we missing? I don't know. I'm asking you questions you don't even know. So I'm not trying to start arguments with you. I don't know what on earth we could be missing. What I'm saying is I think is common sense. You have Joe Flacco to start out the season. Are they mad that we're just saying that Joe Flacco starts out the season and that's it?
I think probably that's part of it.
The show has come to a conclusion that Joe Flacco is going to be the starter to start the season, and then that's it.
I do think, like, Dan Orlovsky,
unless Kenny's not that hurt.
We played that audio very early in the show about Orlovsky, and it was from, what, the end of last week or whatever, and I know our weekend shows did a great job reacting to, is it a wasted... Are we wasting time? Any throw that Joe Flacco makes in a regular season game, any start that he makes,
well, now I'm going to get mad.
Is that a waste of time?
Do you want to play that clip 02, by the way? Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot. When you got it ready, go ahead and get it here. Because I might, if we're just going on what Dan Orlovsky says about it, then I will get mad about it. Here's Dan Orlovsky on with the guys. Oh, excuse me, we don't have that ready yet. We'll get it. It's okay. We get it when you get it.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Dan Orlovsky.
And both of them would be the rookies. I would be doing everything if I was Cleveland to see if one of those two kids I drafted could be a starter this year. And then you have the opportunity to evaluate, is he a starting quarterback or is he not a starting quarterback? Is he a starting quarterback that we can win games with? Because then that maybe changes the way you view those two first-round picks for next year.
Audio courtesy of the Fan on the afternoon show. That's Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Now, I don't want to go too crazy because I told you about the irresponsibility that I think that people are getting when it comes to the rookies. We got to see this. We got to see that. It's the Browns. I don't need to see anything. They're as desperate as it gets. But did we not just talk to Daryl 40 minutes ago? And Daryl said that he believes that they're preparing Dylan Gabriel to play at some point this season. Why does it have to be now? Why does it have to be as soon as possible? Guys, have we not learned the lesson so many times over and over again through how many different training camps or how many quote-unquote competitions? Have we not learned our lesson? Did we not go through this with DeShone Kizer? Kenny's the best quarterback on the roster. There's a difference between the best and the most ready. And Joe Flacco would be the most ready. Kenny Pickett arguably would be the second most ready. Okay? If it were just Kenny in those guys, hey, maybe you'd have an argument. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe it would just be Kenny with a bullet. Because now, with the injury with Kenny, I think it's just Joe with a bullet. You got four different guys. Now you have three. That's still a lot of reps to share. It's still a longer preseason, even though you only have three games instead of four. You have plenty of joint practices to start to get some of that figured out. They're not just going to be going and doing everything you want them to do and just giving you a look. They're going to work on certain things together, absolutely, but there's going to be more competition. So I would be shocked, if Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, either of them, were to be in a position to start in the first three games of the season at all, unless there was an injury.
Well, they're going to have a joint practice with Carolina next Wednesday,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And originally, before Kenny Pickett got hurt, it was going to be Joe and Kenny, right? They're getting all those joint practice reps. Well, now we're reevaluating Kenny at the end of this week, so he's not doing joint practice. So now one of those two rookies is going to get snaps in a joint practice that they weren't going to get before. It was not happening. And now the door is starting to open for whichever one it is to at least show against real NFL talent, not the four string guys, that they have what it takes to be a quarterback that starts in the NFL.
So if you think that the Browns don't know what the hell they're looking at, okay, fine. Fine. That's, you can be mad at the Browns all you want, but I'm just telling you how things are looking right now. They really like Dylan Gabriel from the head up. We'll see if he can become a bigger body, but I don't care. I don't know, and we'll probably find out different from that.
Is there anything, Kenny, like, you know, depending on the year, and I've probably waffled a little bit on this, depending on kind of what the NFL was doing. I know Copycat League, and they all signed kind of, you know, like obviously with Sean McVay says, hey, we're not going to play our guys in the preseason, then everybody basically discards preseason. So whatever, I get it. These things kind of ebb and flow. But is there no such thing anymore as a strategy to nurture a quarterback? Because what fans are just saying is, throw them out there. Well, then do you even need coaches anymore? Like if that's just the answer, throw the guys out there, then you don't truly believe that players can be developed. You just think they either have it or you don't.
Know, they got to show.
Like, that's easy. That's exactly the easiest thing in the world, just throw guys out there. There's no strategy behind that.
That's what frustrates me so much. Have we not learned it already? That throwing guys out there has never worked for us. It's never, ever, 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 ever worked for us. Just throwing a guy out there has always either backfired or just been a non-starter to begin with.
And then, if that's the case, is it that people think that the fifth round pick, 144th overall in Shedeur Sanders, is just magically more ready than any fifth round pick in the history of football, a fourth round pick, a third round pick? Because those guys never get to just start.
Yeah.
Unless there's a cavalcade of injuries before them. There's always somebody already on the roster who you have used more assets to go get, right? Or more valuable assets.
Yes.
You've either traded for somebody or you've taken them earlier in this draft or the previous draft or the previous draft. Like, those guys come in with an advantage. So what is it about Shedeur? Do you think that just the whole league missed out on Shedeur five times over? Is that what it is?
I think for the people who really, really love Shedeur, yes. And then he ended up with the organization that a lot of people think is not knowing what they have in front of them. And so he ends up with the Browns. There, no matter what any of us want to say, there's definitely there's something that follows the Browns around the country. Okay? So he ends up with the organization that nobody trusts. So they don't trust the organization to evaluate him properly. So now, if he's still third on the depth chart, and he's behind Dylan Gabriel, which a lot of people, I mean, you're talking Pac-12 after dark. I know he played at UCF, and I know he played at Oklahoma, but you're talking Pac-12 after dark, even though he's in the Big Ten, and they played in the playoffs, for crying out loud. But you play at a time for a lot of people not to see you, and he comes in, and already you have a guy who's nowhere near as popular as Shedeur Sanders. They're going to think that the Browns are bungling this. Yes. Yes, they are. They're not paying attention to it every day. They don't see it every day. The Browns, for all we know, and if we're all saying that Kevin Stefanski, if anything, he's supposed to be good with a quarterback. If you don't believe that he's supposed to be good with a quarterback, then yeah. Then you believe that they are messing him up. They are messing up Shedeur Sanders and not giving him a proper shot. If you believe that Kevin Stefanski, if he's good at anything, is actually decent with quarterbacks, and you don't put any of the Deshaun Watson stuff on Kevin Stefanski, then you are saying that Shedeur Sanders is being handled properly And now he has his opportunity to really start to show something because Kenny is not going to be available here for a period of time. I don't know how long it's going to be. Could be a few days, could be a few weeks. I don't know. Didn't seem to be too promising with what just was tweeted yesterday from Adam Schefter. So if you're not going to have Kenny Pickett to your disposal, then Shador's going to get an opportunity. And by the end of the week, this could all just be hot air. Maybe he has separated himself by the end of the week. Maybe there is a wildfire conversation from the national media, depending on what we saw with Shador Sanders. If anything, guys, now starts his opportunity.
Yeah,
a camp injury can really start his opportunity to show that, hey, all this other conversation goes away. I can spin it. I can play. I can learn. Put me in as at least the backup of the quarterback, backup quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Mike and if I just. Thing ain't working. Mike in Akron, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you, Mike.
First off, I think that kind of what they're doing right now is right. I think they kind of humbled Shador at the beginning, right? And now they're building him back up. But you guys keep on saying the Browns know what they're doing. When have the Browns had success in a quarterback room? Ever. I mean, ever.
But how can how many times can I say it's the Browns' fault?
It's always the Browns' fault. They ran out Baker. They traded the farm for Deshaun Watson. They had no success with Deshaun Watson. And every time that he started to have success, he ran into injury.
Baker himself admitted that he was not in the right headspace. Okay?
I agree. Baker put it on himself today.
Baker, he's definitely not the same quarterback. He's much more mature. I wish we had him now. All right? On record, definitely, Mike. Okay, they got Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was already probably used up by that time, and we didn't even realize it. That's a miss by them. But again, do we blame Deshaun Watson, or do we blame the Browns for not doing what they can to support Deshaun Watson? I don't think anybody blames the Browns for not changing almost anything they could to make Deshaun Watson work out. I certainly don't. Do you?
No, but the thing is, though, is that they have not had any success. So having faith in this organization to develop a quarterback, and I don't think anybody in this city would ever vote for Andrew Berry to have two first-round picks next year and to be able to pick a quarterback. We just can't do it. So my thing is what Orlovsky said is play the two rookies, because I think that nobody here wants to wake up on Sunday to see Joe Flacco throw three interceptions and us be a mediocre team. God forbid we win six or seven games, like you said earlier, best case scenario, 7-10, and blow our entire draft capital. I would much rather have a rookie play and figure it out.
Do you care if the rookie looks ready at all? Based on the joint practices, if he looks over, if these guys look over their heads against Philadelphia in a joint practice.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think you're right, because I don't want them to go out there just absolutely blow. But my thing is, though, is that I would much rather have a rookie quarterback out there playing. And I'm a Shador Sanders fan, but if Dylan Gabriel beats him out, I don't care. I need a quarterback, right? But right now, I have no faith in the organization whatsoever. I think they're playing for their careers right now. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see Andrew Berry or Stefanski back next year if we're drafting a rookie quarterback, period.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. So there's definitely people who disagree with us. All right, do you believe that the Browns, not we, but are the Browns sabotaging Shador Sanders? Hell, even Dylan Gabriel for that moment. Should this just be open and shut? I think it should be. I think that now that Kenny Pickett is, and we'll see the severity of the injury, but now that he has an injured hamstring, I can only go on what I know. What I know is from the Adam Schefter report, it's not very promising. I would say that Joe Flacco is the starter. Am I just going with the old guy instead of going with common sense? To you.